I sing the mighty power of God. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that fills the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Amen. It is good to have each of you in the Lord's house this morning. Let's open up in prayer, ask God to come and meet with us today. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you and praise you for your many, many blessings to us. And I do pray that it would be your Holy Spirit that stirs our hearts and draws us near to you. For we have come this morning with the desire to worship you and exalt your holy name. We thank you, we praise you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
The ages, there is a promise of God. I would like to invite you to stand one more time as we lift up our voices and we sing Before the Throne of God Above, and then Jesus Saves.
Jesus said that.
take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. I'm going to read to you verses 11 down through 14. The title of the message this morning is posed to you as a question. It simply is it so? That's the title of the message this morning. Is it so? And as I read this text to you, I want you to contemplate that, consider that. Is it so? So I'm going to read to you Ecclesiastes 8, 11 down through 14. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. This text is a very interesting text because it really steps into the realm of the psychology of human beings. Very often you'll hear it said that the United States is founded upon Judeo-Christian values. In fact, you'll often hear it said that the Constitution is structured and built around Judeo-Christian biblical values. And this is one of them. When you look there at verse 11 and you hear it say, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In your constitution, you have a constitutional right to a speedy trial. That's based upon that concept, that whenever somebody is guilty or charged of a crime, they should be tried speedily. And that way, they get fair trial if they're innocent. And they are punished speedily if they are guilty. That's drawn from a text or texts like this. But I read to you verses 11 all the way down through 14 because there's so much built into this about people, about evil, about righteousness, and even about vanity. When you look at it, there are three things we're going to draw out of this. A serious observation is made, and that is verse 11. A serious dedication of faith is upheld as you look at verses 12 and 13. And the last one is verse 14, which is a serious vanity revealed. And that vanity is very much a part of the world we live in today. But let's look at verse 11 real quick, because I want you to understand that when we start talking about that speedy trial, that speedy punishment, or that speedy release of somebody who's innocent, the scripture starts out, it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. It's talking about the nature of human beings. If you don't punish wrong, they continue to do wrong. That's not a difficult concept to understand. This weekend, Sandra Jo and I had the privilege of having all six of Joy's children come and stay with us Friday evening, all day Saturday, and they're with us at church this morning. And I truly look at my daughter with marvel because I wonder, how could I ever done what she does every day? Six kids, that's like having your own zoo. It's like wild, I'm telling you. But one thing is for sure, if Nanny and Grampy, that's who we are, if Nanny and Grampy don't stay right on top of it, then the inmates run the jail. Those six, they can climb right over the top of us and just keep on trucking. It's amazing. So we have to reel it in and reel it in and reel it in and reel it in until they go with all our love and all our adoration to their mom and dad. Well, in reality, that's all our culture. When you let a criminal go and go and go and go and go, he's going to just keep, or she's going to keep on doing what they do. That's what the text says. In fact, the Bible references this or addresses this nature within people many times. Look with me, if you would, over to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 10. And I'm going to read to you as we go down to verses 1 down through 11. Of Psalms 10. It's interesting as the psalmist reflects on this very part of human nature. Listen to what he says. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. This self-delusion of it, I can just keep doing evil and I keep doing it. There's no consequence. I'm getting bad with it. I'll hide and I'll sneak. I'll curse. I'll lie. I'll steal. I'll kill. I'll do whatever I want to do because there's no consequence. It's an interesting idea, an interesting reality. And our founding fathers fully understand that if you don't go ahead and execute judgment quickly, then what happens is that's perpetuated, that mentality that's talked about there in Psalms 10, that you can just keep doing evil. In fact, when you come to the New Testament, it's also talked about. It's talked about how people consider that, but there's another side to the coin. Listen to what the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The text reminds us that God is not slack concerning his promise. He will bring judgment, but he is patient, hoping to see people come to repentance. But as we look at this text, it just reminds us of how well God knows human nature. It reminds us of how our founding fathers looked to these texts and drew these truths out and understood them and even applied them. As our Bible goes down farther in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, he switches from this observation of humankind and he comes down and he expresses his sincere faith in regards to this. Listen to verses 12 and 13. He says, though a sinner do evil 100 times. And of course, that's what was addressed there in the previous verse. People who just keep on doing that which is evil and doing that which is evil and doing that which is evil. Psalm 10 said, they look up and they say, there's no consequence. God forgot. He doesn't notice. I'm not coming to any punishment. I'm okay. I'll just keep doing it. Verse 12 says, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, seems to get away with it, seems to get no problems, no consequences, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Here you find that this statement, this dedication of faith is proclaimed. That yes, while you may look at the wicked world around you, and you may see all kinds of things transpiring in our society, in our culture, in our world, and you might think to yourself, well, they've done it 100 times and got away with it. They've done it 1,000 times and got away with it. And there's no consequences. Here he says, no, wait. There are consequences. And God does reward the righteous. And he does note the life of the wicked. In fact, go back with me to Psalms 10 again, if you would. And I want you to look a little farther down in Psalms 10. I want you to see, as these verses are penned, inspired by God, I want you to hear what he says in Psalm 10, verses 12 down through. He says, arise, O Lord. O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it. For thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more be oppressed. Here the psalmist makes it clear, God, you have seen, you have heard, you will bring the recompense. I believe, I put my faith and my trust in you. Romans chapter 2 verses 5 and 6 says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up in thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds. So you find here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, this dedication, this commitment, this proclamation of faith. That even though I may see the whole world do that which is evil and unjust, and though they may justify it in their own minds, even though they may think that they get away with it, no, God does see. God does know. And God will break the arm of the wicked, and he will bring justice. Acts 17:30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Yes, God is long-suffering, but he has not forgotten. And he does call us to repentance. And yes, he gives us time. But he does require of us that we respond to him. We cannot kid ourselves to think that we ourselves can just continue to do evil. And the world and culture and society we live in cannot kid itself and think there are no consequences to foolish evil behavior. There are. That's what verse 11 reassured, that statement, that observation, when it made it ever so clear that because sentence against evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully dedicated to do that which is evil. We observe that as well. We see that. But we, as verses 12 and 13 state, By faith, know that there is a judgment coming. There is a recompense at hand. Absolutely, the Lord will bring it to pass. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." You see, everything here is not everything. There is an eternal side to life. There's another part that we must not ignore. Now, you and I who went to school when we were kids, we'd arrive at school, and I can remember so well, do you remember those jangling bells? I mean, those things were put into buildings. I don't know if it's still that way at public school. Now maybe they have soft and sensitive bells. But man, I'm telling you, when I got to school as a kid, those bells would go off. Bang! I mean, wow. And then you'd go through your first few classes, and again, it would ring throughout the entire building, that clang. But it meant recess. Now I love the bell. It was great. Love that bell. Line up, go out, run, play, then that clang. Oh, I don't like that bell so much, because that meant we went back in. And I always looked forward to the last bell. You see, that was the best bell of all. Better than recess. Certainly better than the beginning of the day. It meant now I could go ahead and go out and either load up on the bus or walk. Sometimes I'd walk home. It was miles, but I loved it. So that last bell, rang. That was great. But you had to start every day understanding there was an end of the day. Now, if I had thought as a 10-year-old that all day long, every day, I would never get to go home, I was going to have to stay right there all day, even if I had a great teacher like Miss Jen, it would have not been okay with me. I wanted to go home. I wanted the other side. I wanted the freedom, the joy. Well, sometimes we forget that God has for us another side. We look around and we struggle with all that's going on in the world. And we struggle with all that's happening, whether it be in our own state or other states or our own nation or other nations. And maybe we wring our hands and maybe we in confusion look at it and think, what in the world? We must never forget that we have another world. We are looking to a home not made with men's hands, but made by our Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, God does see. And yes, God will bring to pass his judgment in his time. We come down to verse 14 in our text. And listen to this. This is such an interesting text. It takes some thought to hear it. Listen closely. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. And again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. The word vanity really is a reference to self-delusion. It's kind of like looking in the mirror and saying to yourself, oh, man, you look good. That's a little vain, isn't it? It's a little self-deluded. And so he's using this term. He's saying, we as human beings, there is this thing that goes around that says, well, yeah, but if I live a good life, I might be punished like a wicked man. Or if I live a wicked life, I might have all the rewards of a righteous man. And God says, that is very self-deluding. You are deceiving yourself. Now you might find the random exception to the rule. It's kind of like looking in the mirror and saying, wow, you look good. Well, there probably are a few people in the world who really do. But on the overall, most of us are just kind of average. And here he's saying to us, he's saying, don't kid yourself to think that you can live a wicked life and reap all the benefits of the righteous. And you righteous, don't look around with the mully grubs and keep thinking to yourself, what's the deal? I live a good life. I'm not killing anybody. I'm not robbing anybody. I'm not rioting, burning down my neighbor's store. And yet, my tires still wore out. And sometimes that's how we are. We look around and we think to ourselves, well, I try to do right, and I still caught a cold. He's saying to us, come on, pull it back in a little bit. Look at things sensibly and understand. God is aware, and you will absolutely reap the benefit of living a righteous life. And yes, the wicked will one day reap their reward. It's a short text, but it really addresses a part of every generation. None of us have not seen, observed, and experienced the things he's talking about here. It doesn't matter whether you're 90 or 9. It's part of human nature. But God wants us to gather around his word. And he wants us to say to ourselves, yes, I understand. I understand that I need to put my faith in the God who is greater than the nature of mankind. Because if all your faith is in human beings, you are in a world of hurt. And so here he's telling us, look past others and look up and see God. He sees and knows. And yes, it requires us to be patient. Yes, it requires us to humble ourselves and understand there's a God greater than I am. But we must trust. We must believe. You might look at your neighbor and you might think to yourself, man, that guy lives like a junkyard dog. I mean, he is mean. And he gets away with it. Only for so long. Only for so long. God wants us to know that the righteous are in the hands of God. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your reward is not here. We are passing through. We're on a journey. We're sojourners. We are looking to our heavenly home. But here, as well, we take the lessons of the Bible, even as our founding fathers did. And they said, well, we must then go ahead and be wise enough to punish evil swiftly. Give them a swift trial. Give them a just punishment. And if they be innocent, we must swiftly release them. You don't let people languish in prison and all of that kind of stuff. Things that went on in the Middle Ages. No, they brought this to a new land that we might have a new hope. And they built it upon principles like this. You and I reap the benefit of that in our country. And we should protect it. Amen. We should stand up for it and protect it. Amen. But you and I that are Christians, stop looking to the world to give you your peace and your rest. To give you your comfort and your hope. Look past the world. And look to your Lord. That's what the psalmist taught us. Look to the Lord who sees and knows. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of the service this morning. And as your head is bowed, and as you look in your heart, I want you to just take a moment as we come to the end, this moment of reflection. And I just want you to ask yourself, am I looking more to the things of this world, or have I grown in my faith to a place where I can look and see that God is there? That He is the rewarder of the righteous, and He is the punisher of the unrighteous. Have I found my peace, my hope, my strength in that? Instead of a politician or a sports figure, somebody who's of notoriety, am I instead looking to my Lord? If as your head is bowed, maybe you are in a battle. Maybe wickedness, evilness, unjustness have just so stirred your soul. Maybe you need to come to the altar this morning. Maybe you need to reach out to God and say, Lord, set me free from all these fears and worries. Help me to rest and trust in You. Maybe this morning is the morning. You need to leave those heavy burdens with the God who can bear them. Father in heaven, I pray that You stir our hearts. Draw us near to You. Lord, You know the very nature of human beings. And You talk about it in this text. Help us, Lord. Help us as those who are weak and confused, those who every day are faced with the struggle of that which may go on around us. Help us, Lord, to look to You, to find our faith, our strength in You. And if there be one person here this morning who's, they're without faith, they're without strength, then I pray today You'd stir them and woo them and beckon them, that they might come and receive You as their Savior today. And for Christians who are struggling, Lord, I pray that today would be a turning point where they find their rest and their hope in You. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.